Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Tuesday, 4th October 2022. So we will be having our Tuesday class. We will be sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 369. Namo Bhagavate Sakya Muni Phật. Namo Bhagavate Sakya Muni Phật. Namo Bhagavate Sakya Muni Phật. Namo Quan Se Âm Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Se Âm Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Se Âm Bồ Tát. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo Mi Lợ Phật. Namo Mi Lợ Phật. Nam mô A Di Đà Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Địa Tạng Vương Bồ Tát. Nam mô Địa Tạng Vương Bồ Tát. Nam mô Địa Tạng Vương Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phổ Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phổ Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phổ Bồ Tát. Arahaṃ sammāsambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svāgato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassami. Sūpaṭipanno bhagavato sāvakasaṅgho saṅghaṃ namāmi. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dvitiyam pi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dvitiyam pi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dvitiyam pi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyam pi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānāti pātā vīrammaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādīnātānā vīrammaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācāra vīrammaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Mussāvādā vīrammaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmērayā mācchāpamādattānā vīrammaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, we are now turn to page 3 of the chanting book. Will continue with the Paripāra Puja. Gaṇasārapāditena dibbena tamadaṃ sinā tilokādipaṃ sambuddhaṃ pūjayāmi mohomunodaṃ Kanda sambara yutena dobena hang sukang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang umjia kajana mutamang wanna kanda kuno petang etang kusuma santatin pujaye ami mulindasa Ada saroro he puje mi butang kusumena nena punena metena ce ho tumukang upang milayati yata idam me kayo tata yati minasabawan adivase tono bante Paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatumutamang adivase tuno bante pali parikapitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatumutamang Adivase tuno bhante bhojanam parikapitam anukampam upadaya patigan hatumuttamam. Now we are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance there. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma. So that we will diligently strive on with faithfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. Leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Pajam. Bintang Pujaya Me. Damang Pujaya Me. Sanghang Pujaya Me. Just relax body and mind, huh? And maintain some more attention. Okay, as usual, we all have our half an hour awareness-based meditation. Eh? We are off the light so that you all can develop the awareness-based meditation. So the usual four support, apply them, especially the first three. The first support is always relax. Relaxation is most important. Relax into every mind state that arises. Relax completely, body and mind, be at ease. When you are relaxed, you got no problem, no issue. Means physically, mentally, don't have tension, don't have stress, don't have tightness within. Your mind is completely free. Then after that, you just maintain awareness. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, just aware. The awareness is before the knowing. So aware, finish. Aware, finish. Just aware. Aware. Whatever arise, aware. Thought arise, aware. Sensation arise, aware. Contact arise, aware. Whatever that happened to our form and mind, we just allow the awareness to be aware. Finish. Then the third support is to stabilize this awareness nature. Continue to stabilize it. So continue to maintain awareness for as long as you can. Until the awareness nature become very stable. When the awareness nature become very stable, you will know. The form and mind will know. Because by then, the thought process or the whatever sankhara activity, they would have stopped. When there is no more thinking, sankhara activity, or aggregate of mind arising, there is just a pure awareness within. That is the stability of it. So when the mind has developed the stability and settled down, then it can meditate. To meditate is to maintain the choiceless awareness, to understand what is going on within the moment. So the choiceless awareness of what is the reality will allow you to develop wisdom, understanding, all of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has shared with us. You will come to understand just by observing silently, without thinking, without thought, without the mundane mind behind. It's just aware, aware. Through the awareness, you will comprehend, you will see things as they are. You will insight into the phenomenon, you will develop all the clear understanding. Then you start to develop self-knowledge, understanding clearly who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being, and what is this fire of form and mind all about? What is this human being all about? And beyond the thought, beyond the human being, the fire of form and mind, you will also come to realize there is another nature within, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. That is your true nature, your true mind. So realize that and stay with that to develop awareness within, to develop the understanding of life. Okay, I will now set the alarm for 30 minutes so that you can continue with your meditation. 30 minutes of awareness-based meditation. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then these are the mind states you need to use to live life, to cultivate the daily mindfulness. Okay, turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamman Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vija charana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yogani Atta Purisa Pugal Esa Bhagavato Vakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyang Ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Now we'll continue from where we stopped. We have page 369 of this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. The Daskam one has already perfected his expedient devices. His knowledge and vision in the parameters of perfection. Then the sutta continues. Sariputta, the knowledge and vision of the Daskam one is vast, great, profound, and far-reaching. He has profoundly entered without boundary the unlimited, the unobstructed, the powers, the fearlessness, the dhyan concentration, and the samadhi of liberation, accomplishing all those dhamma never had before. So we now continue with the commentaries. The outline summary of this sutta is describing the provisional and actual wisdom of Sakyamuni Buddha and acclaiming both types of wisdom, followed by describing the foundation of both types of wisdom. Then finally is the conclusion. Okay, commentaries. In the Dhamma which the Buddha spoke, the wise see wisdom, and the human or humane see humaneness. The profound will see profundity, and the superficial will see superficiality. It is said the Dhamma is proclaimed with a single sound, and each gain understanding according to his kind. So this is a very good description that I used to explain to your cultivators of the way when they share based on their nature's understanding. So it's the full range of understanding. So this full range of understanding, when they share, how much the listener or cultivator of the way can receive depend on how much you have developed as cultivation. If your cultivation is limited, then what you receive is also limited. So exactly like what is described in the sutta, you go back and I will explain it again. He said, in the Dhamma which the Buddha has spoken, the wise, they will see wisdom. They will understand it accordingly. Whereas the normal human being, humane, they will see the normal superficial Dhamma of the normal human being. Then the profound, those who can understand the teaching, will see profundity, and the superficial see superficiality. So it is said that Dhamma is proclaimed with a single sound. That's why I say the words are very simple, everything is very simple, but the Dhamma are all within, and each gain understanding according to his condition to receive. Although Master Shenhua used the word according to his kind, the meaning is the same. The humans understood it. The spirit understood it too. The ghost, the bodhisattva, the sound hearer, the conditioned enlightened one all understood it. Each understood the doctrine in his own term, and none understood it completely unless your nature is the Sammasambuddha's nature. That is why the text says its purport is difficult to understand, means to completely comprehend what is being shared is not easy. Some of them may have heard or understood one aspect of his teaching or meaning, but not two aspects. Some may have understood two aspects, but not three. The Buddha spoke a single doctrine, but it includes all of existence. So this one, for those who understand, they will comprehend. Here, like I said, the proclamation is the same. The words, everything is the same. But the depth of the teaching is very different, because it comes from that level of understanding. That's why, although the words that are used are very simple, but the meaning is very profound and very deep. So to comprehend, you need to develop that same type of cultivation and perfection before you can really appreciate what this teaching is and comprehend it to the level that is being shared. That's why Dhamma is very strange. A lot of people cannot understand. Like in the early years, I remember when I first came out to share, 19, oh, sorry, the year 2004. In fact, all the basic teaching until now that I share is the same, no change. But the way it is spoken or expounded, it is meant for all levels, like I used to explain to you all and share with you all. No matter what level you are, unless your nature is way beyond my nature, and then of course, there are things that other people can teach, but my nature is limited to where it understands. So unless you have a nature that is higher, then what is being shared will cover the complete full range for people to develop as understanding. So if you have been a cultivator for already very long and you have perfected yourself and developed the perfection of wisdom and virtue, to that extent, then when you share, chances are most living beings or cultivators, no matter how advanced they are, they actually can follow. Then for those who may not have developed such understanding, especially those of the sainthood way, what they can share and teach is very limited, because a lot of things they still cannot understand, the exposure of it and the extent of it. But basic Dhamma, essential Dhamma, needed for enlightenment, for awakening, to realize the cessation of form and mind, to root out the 10 fetters until avijja, that one can be sufficient. They may have that understanding. But those are limited understanding because it's just pointing to the sainthood way's enlightenment. It has not reached the perfection of training to go the Bodhisattva way, leading to the realization of Sammasambuddhahood. So for that, you have to really take the Bodhisattva way and hold on to the Bodhisattva world and plant the seed of Bodhi to do it over a long period of time and cultivation. Unless you do that, the amount of Dhamma understanding that you have is relatively quite limited. That's why to really have that ability to teach and to share is not easy. Such beings are very rare. Especially the sutta that we have gone through, especially the Mahayana sutta. Of course, Theravada also has a lot of sutta, but at the Theravada level, it's relatively much more easier. So this particular expedient device explaining all this, the Buddha initially he start with teaching and explaining the Dhamma in a very different way. So now he can share all this. It's just like after a lot of kayamita has developed the progress and the understanding, then I can share it differently. I can express it and explain it differently. But the basic essential teaching is the same. Everything that I actually taught until now never change. And this is the beauty of the Great Being's teaching. It is from the same proclamation, but it's meant for all level, understand? All level of cultivator of the way. No matter what level you are, you listen, you can receive what you need to understand. So that is the uniqueness of the teachings of Great Being, especially Sammasambuddha. Okay, now we go back to the sutta. then you can develop better understanding. So the Buddha spoke a single doctrine, but it is included. It included all of existence. Means, like I said, what he taught is the secret of life, the complete understanding of life, both mundane and the supra mundane. So all this, they are very, very complete and very extensive. So when it is spoken, that's why this teaching is very unique in that sense. When it's spoken, it's meant for all level. Whether how much you can receive depend on the individual's capacity to receive it because of your own limitation of cultivation. Then he continued by telling Sariputta, he says, Sariputta, Sakyamuni Buddha called out to him again. From the time I realized Buddhahood, meaning what time was that? It was one night when he was sitting beneath the Bodhi tree. He looked up, saw a bright star, and was enlightened to the way. From that time until the present, I, by means of various kind of causes and conditions, see, the word very important, I have by means, the bold letter, of various kind of causes and conditions. Yeah. I have used various kind of causes and conditions, not just one kind, but many, many different kind, and various analogies. I have also used a limitless, countless numbers of analogies to explain the Buddha Dharma, extensively proclaim the verbal teaching. Extensively means broadly, means very widely. Proclaim means that he expounded and elaborated upon the principles. So this one, the word principles, in Mandarin, what you all call, what is the Mandarin word? Oh, Yanzi. Yeah. But here the meaning is deeper. The principles behind means that deep, profound meaning behind. The verbal teaching means that the Buddha, when he was traveling, he went everywhere lecturing or teaching on the sutta and spoke the Dhamma. Then the next part of the sutta is with countless expedient devices. So this one means it is not known how many expedient devices were used to teach and transform living, but it is said with good and clever expedients, he saved living beings. He turned the dust of the world into the Buddha's work. So this is the extent. The Buddha uses ingenious method to save all living beings. Ordinary things are turned into the Buddha's work, while in the dust of the world, one cultivates and transcends the dust. Means within the conditioned world of Mark, you can cultivate to transcend Mark. Then the Sutta say, I have guided living beings, leading them to separate from all attachment. The meaning is, I have used many expedient devices to guide living beings. Guide here means to induce or to train. In Confucianism, they say, in an orderly fashion, one well induces. If you want to be a teacher, you must have a method to teach your student. If you have no method, the student will run away from you. They will be afraid of you. If you have a method, then this student will want to study with you, and that student will want to study with you. All of them will like to study under you. You have no teaching plan. However, they will sign up for your course today and drop out tomorrow. So this is Chen Hua's version. The teacher who know how to teach can bring in students from long distance and may have hundreds of students sign up for their classes. Other teachers who are less skilled may start out with 100, and the following day 80 will be left. Then the next day 60 will remain, and on the fourth day only 40. By the eighth day, they will be totally alone. They may want to teach, but no one wants to learn from them. Why not? Because they do not know how to teach. If they did, they would say, work hard. I'm going to give you a test, so you should pay special attention. If you are not lazy, I will pass you, whether or not your grade is good. I may give you a B or an A, but no one will get a C. If you do not study well, however, you won't even get a D. Hearing this, the student thinks he will certainly give me a B or an A. And so they work hard. This is Chen Hua's version. We can just ignore it. The Buddha Dharma works the same way. The Buddha is a great teacher. He uses all manners of Dhammadas, saying, study the four truths. If you study them, you can certify to the sixthly fruit, to the fruit. First fruit of Arahantship means first stage of sinhood, or the second fruit, the third, and even the fourth fruit. If you cultivate the Dhamma of the 12 conditions, enlightened one, or causes and conditions, you can be certified to the position of the conditioned enlightened one. After that, he turns them from the small towards the great and tell them, in the future, you can all become Buddhas. But first, you have got to practice the Bodhisattva way. You must first cultivate the six perfection and the 10,000 conduct. So this is the correct approach. This is the approach that the Buddha actually make use of. He call it the expedient way. That's why initially he just taught the essential Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths and its three turning, or what we call nowadays the Theravada teachings. The Theravada teachings are very important because they are the foundation. They are the essential Dhamma. Like the Buddha said in the analogy he gave to the monks and the Simsapa group. He picked up a handful of leaves and asked the monk, which is more, the handful of leaves that is on my hand or the leaves that are in the forest and above? The monks replied immediately, the leaves in the forest and above, they are a lot more. So the Buddha said, likewise, what I have taught you is just a handful. So these are the Theravada teachings. Yeah, this is conducive for the sainthood way enlightenment. The sainthood way enlightenment is very important. That's why he taught that first. But he wanted the disciple to know what he has understood are like the leaves in the forest and above, which means it's a lot more. But the Buddha want to emphasize one thing to them, but they are not conducive for immediate sainthood way enlightenment. Means he wants the disciple to know, don't waste your time to learn all this now. There are causes and conditions for you to learn them. You must develop the understanding of the handful of leaf. Awaken to the sinful doing. Then from there, he will prepare the base for you to walk the Bodhisattva way, leading to the perfection of the 10 perfection or the 6 parameters to realize Samasa Buddhahood. So the taking of the vow, everything will follow. So this is how the teaching has been transmitted, but people cannot understand because the sinful way and the Bodhisattva way, they are world of a different, very, very vast difference. But the beauty of the sinful way is these are like the essence of the Buddha's teaching that can lead to enlightenment in the here and the now. Of course, it doesn't lead to perfection of wisdom and virtue, but it leads to awakening, enlightenment, the immediate wisdom needed to awaken, to set free the mind. And then from there, you will develop the causes and conditions to receive the higher teachings, to go the Bodhisattva way. By going through this, it's easier. Otherwise, it's crazy. Nobody will end up taking up the course if you tell them it's going to take you aeons and aeons and aeons. Then you are actually flooding them with too much dhamma or cultivation. They don't have the time to understand all these things. Just I make it simple. Don't make it too complicated. Yeah. It's just like when we study. Initially, when education level were not so well established, passing form 3 is already something because most people can't even have the means to enter school. Where during that time, everything was still privately driven. The government haven't come out with all the free education and all those things. I remember when I was in the primary school, my father paid for my school fees and my textbook and all those things. Even exam, there is exam fees. Then when I went to lower secondary, still the same. Although I just paid the nominal school fees, there is no what they call monthly fees. Then there are exam fees, of course. Form 3, then form 5 is the same, upper secondary. But form 6 is different. Form 6, there is no free education anymore. You have to pay money. It is quite expensive at that time, I remember. So those who cannot enter government school, they have to come out with their money, their own money. We call it the further education classes where they come and join after school hour. The teacher will teach and you have to pay. So at that time, it's difficult. But then as time passed by, as the government has more understanding of the importance of education, so he started to support free education and encourage more literacy so that more people can have basic education. Then what happened is, in the past, during my time, if you can pass Form 5, we call it the Senior Cambridge, SC, before the MCE or the SPM. That time, you can straight away enter the job market to be a teacher, or to be a nurse, or to go for diploma courses. Then after that, you continue Form 6. The intent is to go to university. So most people, after they graduate from university, they will enter the job market straight away, even though you can do your master, your PhD and all those things. So in a way, cultivation is quite similar because most people nowadays, they will stop at the graduate level. Then they enter the job market to experience the career life and to earn some money to support the family and support maybe themselves to develop financial freedom and also to actually excel in the career field. So cultivation of the Dhamma is the same. If your education system is so long, you tell them after graduate you must go for master, after master you must go for PhD, they got no time for you because it costs so much and they are getting older and older. They don't have time to actually experience life and to make the money and all those things. But when it comes to spiritual, it's even more difficult. Because the spiritual understanding is a lot more important than the normal worldly materialistic success. So going through the spiritual field, if you tell people to cultivate all the way until Sammasambuddhahood, I tell you nobody will take up the thing. They will be very, very happy with the sainthood way. So you tell them there is a very much shorter course where you can do the sainthood way. Just study the handful only. They will be very interested. But after they have realized the sainthood way, to go the bodhisattva way, they will be very motivated too, because by then they can understand already. It's just like those who have graduated, come out to work after a while, then they realize if they can go for master to enhance their understanding and their they call degree or title, it's very beneficial, especially nowadays where you do the what they call special master program, where you can go for the Oxford Business School. Then there are others. My son went on his INSEAD. Then they got a lot of all this, which are very famous master program. Then some even go for PhD because they see the importance, they see the value. And all these courses are not cheap. It's not cheap, really not cheap. Because a master program, if you go for the good one, Harvard Business School, not Oxford. Oxford one is different. They have their own program too. But Harvard Business School is very famous. Their alumni. Then there are a lot of other type of program, like Cambridge and all those things. They are very famous elite universities with all this program. So if you graduate from those university and have those master degree and maybe PhD and all those things, your value is different. And people who need such I should say such special graduates or graduates with further degree like the master program and all those things. Because when you go through all this, you become very different. Your understanding is very different and your alumni contact or what they call your ability to socialize and have all this what they call contact is a very crude word. What is the word? There is in the corporate world where Where you get this type of, I don't know how to call it. Contact is correct, but it's a very good one. Where you can actually join the alumni and actually have the pool of great people. We are all these people who graduated from all this master program or Harvard Business School, or say they end up as CEO of big multinational companies. Yeah. So your networking, the word is networking, not contact, networking. You will have a lot of networking to all the very, very highly paid CEOs and people. So because of that networking, they will have the capacity and ability to contribute and become like very different. That's why people are willing to hire them, pay them very high salaries to actually transform the companies, to grow the company by leaps and bounds and all things. So in a similar way, for the spiritual field, when you have the basic degree already, means the sainthood way already, then for those who are really into the spiritual field, even with the essential Dhamma or the sainthood way, and remember during the early day when I cultivate, even before I connect, I find the Dhamma so interesting, so beautiful. Then that time I was really like motivated to really develop deep understanding of what this teaching is all about. Then as I continue, it's because of my past. That's why everything falls into place. Then all this understanding just come forth, shine forth, and the nature just moves. Yeah. Then as it moves, it understands the beauty of such teachings, the beauty of such training. That's why it will go all out. Not to say master program or what. Whatever that is beautiful spiritually, it will develop the ability to go all out to develop that training, even the Bodhisattva way. You will do based on your own understanding and the causes and conditions that has arisen, based on your affinity with great beings and all those things. So all these are very interesting. That's why unless you walk that path, the Bodhisattva walk, to take the Bodhisattva walk, to walk the Bodhisattva way, you can never understand the beauty of such transformation along the path of Dhamma, following the Bodhisattva way leading to Samasa Buddhahood. Because it is a very completely different type of cultivation. It's not only rewarding, it is very extensive, very, very extensive. And it's really fulfilling, fulfilling. Wonderful, extensive, fulfilling, and very, very supreme in its possibility of understanding and cultivation. It is really very, very difficult to comprehend. You can't really describe it unless you yourself is on this path. Okay, I better continue, because we don't have much time left. In another 10 or 15 minutes, I have to end already. Okay, I read on. When those of the two vehicles hear this, the first two vehicles means the sainthood way and the conditioned enlightened one, the Pacheka Buddhas, the sound hearer and the Pacheka Buddhas. These two vehicles, when they hear this, they think, so there was the Bodhisattva vehicle all the time. And they set for the small vehicle, sorry, they set the small vehicle aside to cultivate Mahayana or great Bodhidharma. If the Buddha has started out saying you should cultivate the Mahayana or great Bodhidharma, and not first taught them the lesser vehicle or the Theravada tradition, essential Dhamma, the sainthood ways teaching, they will have taught in the great vehicle you are supposed to give. How can I give my things away? That is just not fair. I am simply not going to do it. If someone has just begun to study the Dhamma and not yet obtained the slightest advantage, you cannot tell them that they have to give the moment they walk in the door. For example, if someone comes in to listen to a lecture and they start talking and you start talking to him, before they have even crossed the threshold saying, "Do you want to listen to the sutra? Give me $100. They are going to think, "Oh, what's this all about? $100? And off they will go or run. They do not get to listen or hear the sutta lecture. They do not give $100 and do not get any offerings. So this is Xuanhua's version. He like to use this type of analogy or example. But the one I shared with you earlier on is different. That's why I understand it differently. The sainthood way can be very rewarding to the Theravada tradition when you understand. That's why it's like a motivation, because it can lead to enlightenment here and now. Then after they have that, then only you develop further expedient device to explain to them what the Bodhisattva way is all about, leading to Buddhahood. By then, there will be a lot of people who is willing to go that way. But after they have heard the sutta lectures for a while, they will come to understand that in order to practice the Bodhisattva way, it is necessary to give. Then they may give 1,000 or even 10,000, a lot more than the original 100, when they understand, they will give. If you tell them to give before they understand the principles, these were the principles, it will be harder for them than cutting off a piece of their own flesh. Even if it's very obvious that they should give, you cannot just tell them to give when they do not understand the Buddha Dhamma. This one is quite true. Since the Buddha understood the Dhamma Dao, he first told them to study the Dhamma Dao's or the Dhamma of the two vehicles, the Sanghira and the Pachika Buddha. Just do your own cultivation, he said. Understand what suffering is. Then cut off the cause or origination. Then cultivate extinction and cultivate the way. Means the Four Noble Truths. Cultivate the Four Noble Truths and certify to the fruits. They think about it. I don't have to do anything but cultivate and gain accomplishment on my own. And so they cultivate according to the Dhamma Dao. Once they have cultivated and certified the fruits of Arahantship, the Buddha opens the provisional to reveal the real. He does away the provisional Dhamma in favor of the Mahayana teaching, the great vehicle. At that time, even though they may not want to cultivate it, they have got a taste of the Dhamma, the basic essential Dhamma. And so they set the lesser Dhamma aside and cultivate the great vehicle. When they cultivate the great vehicle, they have to give and hold the precepts. Giving and morality are the first two of the six perfections, means the Dana Parami and the Sila Parami. As to maintaining the precepts, those who wish to maintain precepts are advised to do so themselves. They should pay attention to whether or not they themselves are keeping the precepts. They should not go around pestering other people about them, saying things like, since you don't understand, I will explain to you how to keep these precepts here. Precepts are to be kept personally. You should not go around telling other people to keep them. Keeping your own precepts. Don't fail to keep them yourself and yet harm other people about keeping them. That is just like having filthy clothes yourself, which you do not wash, and yet helping others wash their clothes. It's also called neglecting your own field and weeding other people's field. You do not work in your own field, but you go help the other planter. Yes, your own go to ruin and you reap no harvest. So in keeping the precept, keep them yourself. Yeah. Actually, like I explained in the past, precepts need to be understood because it is out of love and compassion for the living being that the Buddha advises us to keep our precepts. It's not for him or anybody else. It's out of love and compassion for us all. Because keeping precepts is to help you avoid major evils. And you cannot keep precept, you cannot start the spiritual journey. So if you understand it that way, then it's easier. You must also practice the perfection of patience, kanti, then virya, vigor, then dhyana, samadhi. And of course, finally, is wisdom, prajna. You must cultivate all these various dhammas. So why did the Buddha not spoke the great vehicle, Dhamma, to begin with? It was because he feared that those of the two lower vehicle would not have it in their heart to benefit others, but would only care to benefit themselves. That is why he spoke the lesser Dhamma first. Then later, when they had realized their own self-benefit, they could start to think about enlightening others. Thus, the Buddha used all manners of expedient way or method to teach living beings to leave their attachment. Living beings had to learn to part with the things they could not put down, which means their attachment. At this point in the sutta, everyone should return the light. Means reverse the light, return the light and reverse the illumination. Hui Guang Fan Chao. Ask yourself, have I now separated from my attachments? If you have separated from your attachment, you should separate from them a bit further. If you have not separated from them, hurry up and do so. Do not be attached. We should definitely believe in the Dhamma, which the Tathagata one has spoken. We should not merely listen without actually practicing it. The most important thing is to separate from attachment. Why is this? Why should one separate from all attachment? The Tathagata one has already perfected his expedient device. His knowledge and vision and the paramitas, which means he has reached the other shore in all of this. He has penetrated to the source of all Dhamma with his perfect wisdom and understanding. Sariputta, the knowledge and vision of the Tathagata one is vast, great, profound, and far-reaching. So, the commentary say, what is this knowledge of the Tathagata one? It refers to the wisdom that plumbs the source of all Dhamma. The Tathagata one's vision refers to comprehending the emptiness of all Dhamma. The Buddha's knowledge and vision is broad. There is nothing more vast, nothing greater. It cannot be spoken in terms of numbers. It is so big, there is nothing beyond it. and so small there is nothing inside it. It is so great that it could not find anything greater or more profound. It is extremely deep. Ultimately, how deep is it? No one knows. He has profoundly entered without boundary the unlimited. Means the Buddha had the four unlimited mind. These are the four Brahma Vihara. The first one is loving kindness, metta. Then karuna is compassion, the great compassion. Then sympathetic joy, mudita. Then how come finally he put there giving? The last one should be equanimity. The unobstructed refers to the four type of unobstructed eloquent. This one is their definition. Unobstructed eloquent in the Dhamma, in speaking the Dhamma. Unobstructed eloquent in explaining the Dhamma. Then unobstructed eloquence in phrasing. And the final one is unobstructed eloquent in delight, in speaking. So these are the four types of unobstructed eloquence. Then the powers are the 10 wisdom power of the Buddha. Fearlessness refer to his four type of fearlessness. Dhyan Samadhi refer to the Buddha's Samadhi. Dhyan in the Sanskrit word, which is interpreted as this one, the Mandarin word. Fu Wei Siu here means, how come the English translation is thought cultivation? It should be contemplative cultivation. Or as stealing thought. Stealing thought is Jing Lü. Means using the awareness nature. So through the practice of cultivation of Dhyan, the false thinking disappears. No matter what one does, one should, actually the word should not be concentrated. One should have samadhi. One must be in samadhi. You can obtain samadhi in anything you do. This is correct. You can obtain samadhi in anything you do. Chopping firewood, drawing water, serving gas, in all situations. This is daily mindfulness. And one cultivate samadhi. Ignore the word concentration. Dhyan Master Yuan Ming Shao, the sixth patriarch of the Pure Land School in China, recited the Buddha's name 100,000 times a day. Namo Amitabha Buddha, Namo Amitabha Buddha. And yet, he did not shrink. He did not shrink any of his duty. He did all kind of work. But while he was working, he was in the Buddha recitation samadhi. Each time he recite, Namo Amitabha, the transformation Buddha come out of his mouth. Who saw it? The people at the time who had the Buddha eye could see it. Ordinary people could not. Everyone said the Dhyan Master Yuan Ming Shao was a transformation body of Amitabha Buddha. Amitabha. He was always in the Buddha recitation samadhi. So if you have perfected yourself until you can do all this, this is possible. So you see, no matter what kind of work you are involved in, all you have to do is to have a persevering, perseverance, very important. Unchanging mind means sincere, unwavering. Persevering, then the other is faith, and you can obtain samadhi power. Okay, I think we stop here. We stop here. Okay, I mark this page. Okay, we are at page 370. Okay, we have marked the page. Now we open up for meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, Q&A. Then also we can also have the individual sharing, Dharma in daily life.
Good evening, Brother, Mr.
Yes.
Steele and all calamities. Okay, I'll base on part of today's sharing. When it says that the level of understanding that we get from the sutra very much depends on how much we can receive.
Yeah,
That is my
correct.
understanding.
Yes,
Yeah.
yes.
A lot of us, we hear the Dharma almost daily, I would say, especially with so much recording and all that. But somehow we can say that, yes, we understand, but how much does it really sink in? I think for a lot of us, still not that much, unless it's like those who have progressed very well. And somehow we feel so such a letdown, relative, in a sense that try as we do, it somehow seems so, I won't use the word difficult, but it's like, what is happening? You know, why can't we receive? I mean, we are so sincere. I would say we are sincere, relative, in
Definitely,
receiving,
definitely,
but somehow something is lacking in maybe in our parami,
I can
relative,
explain it to you afterwards, huh? Maybe I explain it first, before you continue. Okay. There are two ways to look at it. One way, what you all have actually come to understand thus far, huh? Of course, to a lot of you who understand the capacity of progress and understanding is really like you should understand much more than what you have understood now. But compare to all those who are still doing thought-based meditation or healers, laws, what you all have understood is way beyond what ordinary being can actually expect to understand. So if you look at it from that point of view, you all have actually progressed a lot. You all have actually turned the corner and moved on from thought-based meditation, from all the conditioning to what you are now, through all the years of hard work and cultivation. It has actually bring about a lot of transformation and changes, but without you realizing it. And what most of you all are doing is because as you progress, you sometimes tend to compare with those who have progressed a lot. So if you compare in that sense, then of course, like PG said, it is like quite a letdown in the sense that the expectation of understanding should be a lot more. But don't worry, everyone is different. Every cultivator of the way is different. Sometimes we have to understand, we need to be patient. That's why Kanti Parami, or patient enduring with wisdom, is a perfection, is a parami. You cannot be too eager to progress. You have to like trust your nature. The most important is be sincere, true to ourselves, then have faith, then persevere. Everything will fall in line. So when it comes to progress, it depends on the individual's understanding. And also, sometimes you may not really understand what is going on, because unless you have gone through the cultivation, you will not understand all this deeper aspect of the cultivation. It's just like you look back in the past. Even Sister Po Ching Wan is a very good example. Initially, when he first came to the class, the retreat, I think 4 or 5 years ago, he know next to nothing. But because she was very sincere, a clean slate, initially she like not really serious, because this is not something she wanted, like she explained. But later on, as condition go by, then as she sees the importance and all that, she go all out. That's where she actually developed the faith, then the perseverance and the sincerity. Then when she did that, she progressed very fast. She connect very fast. That's why you cannot compare. When the time come, like I always say, you have to be very patient. Wait for your causes and conditions. When the time come, you really take off. And when you take off, you truly take off. Yeah. So do not worry about initially like you very child or whatever. Forget about it. Ask yourself, like relative say, the spiritual check. Whether you have the faith, the sincerity, and the perseverance, if you have them, then you just work on it, cultivate, and do what you have to do. Then the causes and conditions will fall into place. Then when the causes and conditions are there, you will take off. You will progress. Yeah. So the sincerity, the faith, the perseverance, and the constant spiritual check is very important. So this is what I see as more important than like comparing different people, their progress and all those things. So when we compare, this is always the mundane thinking, doing the analysis, doing the comparison or reasoning and all those things. But when it comes to spiritual cultivation, the understanding is, thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. So causes and condition are very important. Understanding the true principle, the true teaching are more important than go and entangle ourselves in all these things. But as a discussion, like what PG brought out today, is very good. So that you all develop the causes and conditions for all this understanding to surface. Because comparing, like what PG mentioned, it depends on how you compare. If you were to look back before you encounter this teaching, this understanding, before you really know anything, your life is one. You are no different from most people. Heedless. Understand? Then a lot of emotion, anger, then not understanding the Four Noble Truths, the three turnings, the essential Dhamma, don't know what life is. A lot of mundane, heedless thinking, emotion going on. And every now and then it's coming, unending. Karmic journey, birth and death. All this is what the heedless, the unenlightened living beings, they are going through. And suffering at that time is very intense, very real. A lot of things can make life difficult. Not only your own personal life, your own career will be affected, your relationship will be affected. Your health will be affected. And many other things. And a lot of things will not go your way unless you have the Dhamma understanding. So looking back and understanding all these things, you must develop this what they call a sense of contentment, joy, like gratitude towards your good karma, to have all this understanding, even up to this level, this point of time, compared to those days, those people, you are already so blessed, so fortunate. Yeah. And when you have that type of contentment, that type of gratitude, you will be very inspired. And your faith in the Buddha and his teaching will be unshakable. That's why you will go all out. You will not be complacent. Then when you do that, your faith, your sincerity and perseverance will take you along. Then be patient. Wait for causes and conditions. Then when they fall into place, your progress, they will take off. In no time, they will take off. And when they take off, they really take off. You have seen a lot of Kayamita, even Alicia's case and many other Kayamita. You look at them. Initially, also, they went through very difficult encounters. But when the time comes, when causes and conditions fall into place, then you realize they become different. They become so, like, motivated. And the faith become like very strong. Then they really sincerely work towards the cultivation. And when they did all this, they will reap the fruit. Then you start to see how all this can happen. I remember like Bao Lian used to say, he always say, these people who really progress, he said, they got certain quality which you don't have. So you know that, then what are you waiting for? Valen? Smiling some more. I go and write it down, understand? Then work towards it. Because these are the causes and conditions you need to plant. Understand? The moment you plant, the seed of Bohi is there, it like take off by itself. So this is the part, PG, I want to share with you. Okay, with time, we would like to thank you for bringing out the condition for this aspect of the Dhamma to be shared. Because cultivation is like that. Initially, actually what pushed you to share this is also very important. Because what you want is to motivate not only yourself, but others to actually work towards it diligently so that you can see the progress and the result, so that we can all move together as a family unit, which is the Kayamita family unit, or the Kayamitas as a what they call totality of cultivators. So Kayamita, they can develop a type of force, which is, I used to call it the Kayamita force. Because when the Kayamita fund can develop the causes and conditions for Kayamitas to move, though there is a force that will move you all without you knowing it. And by being part of the Kayamita ship, that nature become very different, very different. So this is the part cultivator of the way need to develop the understanding so that you don't have to like feel that you are too slow or what. Whatever you see, if other people progress and develop, you should rejoice and rejoice and determine to be like them or maybe better than them. And that should be the way you develop yourself. I remember during the early days, even in the school, like I told you, standard one, standard two, I was last and second last in the class. I learned things very slowly because I don't know the language. I went to the English school. My father sent me the best school in Kedah, the English school. And nobody in my whole village or kampong speak English. Really. English was like a very foreign type of language. Nobody understands. That's why when I went there, the standard one, I actually completely don't know what is going on. My teacher spoke English. I cannot follow. I just listen. Then standard two was the same. I cannot follow. It took me almost 2 years to learn the language through what? Singing. They teach us how to sing song. 1, 2, buckle my issue, 3, 4, shut the door. Then the words slowly come in. Then blah, blah, black sheep, and it will. So it keep on singing. So then you listen to a foreign language, which is so foreign. Then I slowly pick up. But by the time I pick up the language, I progress very fast. You know, my mind very clear. I can see things very fast. That's why standard two, arithmetic, I top the class. I score 100 marks. Nobody else get 100 marks. Then I got the book prize. My teacher also don't know what to do with me. Finally, the headmaster, very wise, he says, since nobody else get 100 marks, maybe he didn't copy, give it to him. That's how it happened. Then after that, as I know the language, that's why I very patient. What I want to share with you is, even though I was last in the class, I never looked down upon myself. I never despised myself. I never like blame my father for sending me to it. No. Very strange. I accepted whatever. Then I know it's because I don't know the language. And deep inside me, I know, when I know the language, I will perform better than the rest. That's why I started 3 years. I did so well now. I went to special class, standard four special. People who jump school on like 6 years of education, they jump 2 years. No, they only take 4 years. My school is a special school that has that. So I was in their class, so standard four special. So that was like you jump. So I was in that same class, but I didn't jump because my first 2 years was very slow. Only in standard three, my grade was so good, I joined them. I joined the elite group, the classmates. Then after that, like I said, I always associate with the good students. I observe them, how they study and all that. Then I like to interact with them and all that. So Kaya Vitashi is the same. This is how you should actually develop. And for Kayamita, who has developed the progress and the understanding, you should rejoice and congratulate them and talk to them and listen to them and learn from them. It's like initially when Song started, you all were very full of faith and you all talked to him and learned. Even Alicia learned a lot of things by talking to Brother Song. Then she also, of course, discussed with me. Text me and share a lot of things that her own hard work. She diligently listened, then developed the understanding. And because she Mandarin educated, she go for to read the Mahayana Sutta. And because her Mandarin is better, then my sharing of the Mahayana Sutta, I also use a lot of Mandarin, which she find it very beautiful, very useful. That's why all this can bring about transformation and progress when you have the understanding. So rejoicing and having the understanding to avoid the foolish and mix up with the wise is very important. And most Kayamita, they are actually wise people. No matter what stage are you, even you look at now, even you look at PG, Paulian, Tammy, and all those things, you have your own unique strength, understand? But you still don't know about it because it haven't flower, it haven't manifest. The causes and conditions are not ready. But like PG went through, her strong point, her mind is very strong. When she determined, is can go either way. So now that she has understanding, it can go like in the early days. I remember a few months back, the sharing was very beautiful. But then after she went back to Penang, she realized neglect and the slack. Then the deterioration of momentum of cultivation happened. But it's good. It's for you to see, understand, to understand that this type of cultivation need perseverance. You must persevere and you must sustain the momentum. You cannot be complacent. I already give you a lot of warning. When you start to see some progress, can never be complacent. The moment you are complacent, the moment you fall very hard. Understand? We have to pick up that momentum again. It's not the same really. But initially, it's the virya, the faith that drives you and determines that you do it. Then when you got it, there is so much joy. But then it could also be coming or what. For a certain period, when the causes and condition changes, especially if she go back to Penang, then the neglect or complacency caused the deterioration. Then when the deterioration comes, when she fall, she realizes it's very difficult to pick it up again. But it can be done, understand not PJ. So not a problem at all. So all this sharing can be very useful, very beneficial. And each and every one of you have your strong point. Believe in your own nature. Your nature is beautiful. It's only delusion, ignorance, defilement that condition living beings to become what they are. Your nature is intrinsically beautiful, perfect, understand now. And this is what you have to realize. So that's why the whole of cultivation is to realize this nature, which is already perfect all the time. Not to say just recently, no, all the time. But because of delusion, because of ignorance, because of the mundane wrong thought, they cloud that nature. And that nature cannot shine forth. That's why there is no causes and condition for you to realize that nature, stabilize it, and let it shine forth and move you. So cultivation needs all this understanding. Patience is very important. Kanti. Kanti paramang sukhang. That's why they say patience leads to nibbana. To realize the highest peace. That's why kanti paramang sukhang is a very beautiful saying by the Buddha. So kanti is actually patient endurance with wisdom. You must have patience. You must endure. Regardless of what happens, be patient. Do not look down upon yourself. Do not blame yourself. Do not even try to analyze or reason. Just move. Understand? Condition like that, things will be like that. Causes and conditions like that, things will be like that. Just let things be. Have faith. Be patient. Walk towards it. And everything will fall into place. So, the conditioned world is such, we need causes and conditions for things to manifest. So you work towards the causes and conditions, things will unfold. Things will accordingly fall into place. But if you are impatient, you lack this understanding that every time you allow the sankhara activity, the thought process, to do all the reasoning, to do all those what they call complaining and all those things, then you fall into the trap of delusion again. The mundane mind starts to like come back to the back door to actually grasp and condition one's delusion to cling to all this so-called wrong thought again. That will actually slow down your cultivation. So when you develop all this understanding, then you will have the clear understanding to move basing on what I have shared with you and explained to you all. So this is very important. Okay, BG, you can continue.
Yeah, Brian, too. So far, actually, it is my faith and my virya that has been keeping me on this path, still doing my cultivation and persevere despite the ups and downs that I go through. Because I too do understand things happen according to causes and conditions. It has been very clear to me. Like you say, the other time is probably for me to see. So that's why I still keep on doing what I think should be done. And like I always say, things happen when it's meant to happen. There are so many things in my life that has already shown me very clearly, especially coming into the Dharma. Like I say, if 10 years ago, I would have never thought that BG will come in and sit and listen to the Dharma. So there has to be something for me that leads me to this way. Like I say, why should I come into the Dharma otherwise? You know?
That one is very true.
Such a strange thing for me to think of even. You know, like at one time, I looking back all the way back then, Brachil, before I even come to contact with the Dharma, I used to read storybooks, okay? You know, all those storybooks. And one fine day, it's just, I just stopped, it just stopped the urge, you know, the urge to read, Brachil, just disappeared. It's so strange. Cold turkey, right? It just disappeared. I also cannot understand why. So after that, it comes this period where things start to evolve for the Dharma to come into my life.
Oh, sadhu.
So
that's very good.
Brother, when I look back at all this, I can see that I'm meant to walk this.
Meant to walk this.
So this is the type of thing that drives me, Brother.
Yes.
Yeah. Very thankful that I found the right teacher. The right group of kilometers and all the circumstances that I would say give me the inspiration,
inspiration and motivation.
The motivation to continue on this path. So what can I say but to just continue my cultivation?
That one is very important. So be patient.
Then I am very patient,
Have faith. I understand. Then also have faith. Then persevere. Because your mind can be very strong. And it can go all out and really do it. You have that part of me.
Yeah, very true. That's why every time when I chant my Bodhisattva vows,
you should do it.
I feel it very strongly.
Yeah, inside your nature.
Very strongly. And I know that I can walk this path. You know, it's like the Bodhisattva path that every time you say, oh, you take eons and eons.
It's but not a problem for it.
Yes, never even crossed my mind. No problem for me.
I say,
it's a big deal. After all, you could be born again. You might as well walk the right path.
That you come with the right understanding every life you choose to come or have to come. That one is very important. Because when you can choose to come, your life becomes beautiful. Because you have the understanding. You are already on the Bodhisattva way. That's why you can choose to come. Otherwise, you cannot. So to have the ability to choose to come, your Bodhisattva way has to be stabilized to a certain extent, until a certain stage. And then that choice is based on your understanding. Your understanding will give you the causes and condition to choose to come. Then you can make aspiration for causes and condition to come during what period, under what circumstances and all those things. So all this will fall into place. I remember during the early years of my period of cultivation, I had the faith, the understanding, and the determination. And as I continue to do all this, then I realize adhidhana is very important. That's why I am very good in making adhidhana. That perfection I have actually completed it, finished. That's why this life I come, nobody taught me. I know how to make use of adhidhana, to make aspiration for causes and conditions for things to arise. Then my coming, even this life, a lot of life, actually the nature know how to plan. That's why it like to come during transition period. Then the transition period will fall into place on. In fact, all this planning, I never really go into the detail of the planning, but my nature know it has to be during transition and it has to be during this era and what type of career my nature need. So I just have all these parameters set. Then nature will do his work. Then it will happen. And then whenever my nature arise, those that have affinity with my nature, they will also develop the condition to come. Because these are beings that has affinity. And the affinity can be in many, many different ways because of my vow and all those things. So a few of my vows are very unique. But one of them I already told you last time. Because my vow is, I vow to take across all living beings that appear as food for my form and mind to consume whenever this nature arises, so that I can have affinity with more and more living beings. Then this one is the first stage. And when conditions fall into place, these are the beings that will come. But there are some who has causes and conditions to get to know my nature, cultivate with my nature, then develop strong adhidhana and all those things. So these are the people who will benefit more, who will know how to connect to my nature, and when they come, they learn very fast. They learn very fast because they are familiar with my sharing and my teachings and all those things. Then there are some who come through the great beings, Kuan Yin and all those things. And also like all the life or form and mind existence that my nature has went through and manifest. In fact, every of this form and mind, like this particular life, you all call this segment of my life, Pradatio. We have so much encounter, understand, affinity. Then we have been together most of the time as cultivators. Then we have our spiritual activity, our spiritual trip, and a lot of other very beneficial kayamita activities. So all this actually set for the causes and conditions for a lot of those kayamita who has the understanding to develop very close affinity with my nature, and depend on what you all understand and make affirmation. When causes and conditions unfold, things will manifest and you will come and you will connect. So in fact, this life a lot, there are some who already from the past have the causes and conditions, they will manifest. Like my children, my wife, they already in the past already know my nature. They already make all the aspiration, causes and conditions and vows. So all this, when you understand, whenever you arise as a cultivator of the way, you will know how to actually develop understanding to make aspiration, cultivate affinity, then determine strongly to walk this path, so that all this affinity that you have cultivated can come to fruition to assist you in the cultivation. So it can manifest in various with various under various conditions. So all this you can only understand as you develop the cultivation further and further and further. Then all this will fall into place. So what I try to share with you is to actually preempt a lot of things that hasn't happened to you all yet. But after listening to this, you will broaden your understanding and develop the causes and conditions for you to develop such possibility, and cultivation will actually transform. Because unless you listen to all this sharing from great beings, higher beings, you cannot understand one. You cannot develop the idea one, because it's like we are trapped in our own what they call the Malay saying, kata di bawah tempurung. Whatever underneath the tempurung is what your world is. Beyond that, you cannot see. But when you open up the tempurung and come out and start to meet with the world, then when you start to hear different things that can actually expand your understanding and thought process, you become very different. You become that as you are more and more exposed, you develop clearer and clearer understanding. Yeah. Then from there, you become very different. Yeah. And I can see already a lot of Kanyamita is developing all this understanding already. Yeah. Especially Po Cheng and Alicia, they all even think video. They like to listen to my sharing. Yeah, even Miss Lee, they like to listen to my sharing, and even Song, and many of them, they know these are very rare type of sharing. These are very like difficult to come by type of understanding. So when you share, you listen attentively because it's recorded. It becomes different. Yeah. Even Jinhao also doing all these things starts to benefit. And also like my daughter Sui, they start to develop a lot of other type of understanding. And all this will transform them, transform their thinking, their understanding of the cultivation and the possibility of what the future is possible. So all these are like very meaningful, very beautiful. So hopefully, yeah, with all this sharing over time, the Kahimita can actually benefit more and more, and develop better understanding of this Bodhisattva way, the cultivation. Okay, so now I pass back to you, PG, another 6 minutes. Yeah,
for you. Of course, when I say that I question my level of understanding, there has been improvement that I can see, especially when I read the suttas and all that. Surprisingly, I have some new understanding, Brother. It's just like when I read, it's not like just words itself.
Correct, it's different.
Yeah, it's very different.
Mm.
Yeah, and like recently, Brother was doing the sharing, and then something that is so simple, Brother, I heard it like we always say thousands and thousands.
Yeah.
It never even clicked. You know?
Correct.
The 6 cent doors, the 6 external sense data, and then the corresponding mental consciousness, door consciousness. I heard that thousands of times, never clicked in my mind. Suddenly, that's it. Why so simple? Take you years and years. Then I laugh to myself. Dharma is so simple, yet so difficult to understand.
Because it's only simple to the wise. But before one awakens, it really takes a while. Sometimes That's why in the early day when I started to come out to share, remember, I thought people need Dhamma, then I started sharing. Then I realized, no, all these are way beyond their ability to understand. Hardly anybody can even understand 5 or 10% of what I spoke. So I had to reverse the whole thing to start teaching the essential Dhamma and start all over again. Because it's not easy. Because to a lot of people, these are something very new. Because spiritual teaching is not like normal teaching, not acquisition of knowledge. Spiritual teaching needs the causes and conditions to receive and to actually awaken to. It's just like you mentioned the six sense, six external sense bases, or we call it sense data. Then the six internal sense bases. Then when you are mindful and aware, upon contact, the respective six sense, the six type of consciousness will arise. And this is what the 18th sense right is all about. But basically, it's about how we function as a human being, understand now? How we know the world, how we interact with the world. Well, these are the things that interact and trigger off sense of consciousness. And like the Buddha say, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is it. And then you realize, it because this mundane mind is the result of dependent originating, condition arising, cause of, well, as a human being, when we are born, we have the physical senses inside. Then the external sense data, they are within nature. Then when they come, interact, then the conscious mind, the consciousness, develop that contact at that sense door. Then sense door consciousness trigger off. And that's how we become conscious of things. And when we are conscious because of the brain and the memory, you see all the interaction, all the movement. That's why you need to be silent, to be aware, to see all this. Then you understand. You are like a robot, understand? It's not you. There is no living being inside there. There is no permanent unchanging entity. It's just a set of causes and conditions triggering off all this activity. That's why it's called the law of dependent origination. Condition arising, causal phenomena. Everything is on that. Without causes, there is no condition for things to arise. Causes and conditions must be there for things to arise, for things to continue to manifest and exist. Then when causes and conditions cease to be, then it will cease to be. That's why everything is just not what you think. It's not what the memory or what the knowledge of the mundane thinking mind carry. Well, all these are thought, knowledge. They are not wisdom. You cannot see the reality, the truth behind all this movement. So when you start to be aware, you become different. The awareness see all the movement, all the interaction, all the causes and conditions behind their arising. Then you realize, hey, no you, hey, no me. Everything is just the way it is. Condition like that, things like that. Then the memory, the views, the opinion, the conditioning, you realize that one is entirely physical. Of course, with the brain, you accumulate. Then with the consciousness, you hold, you grasp, you cling. And this is what it is. Then when you saw all this so clearly, you like wake up. Suddenly, like you said, it's actually so simple. Nothing complicated. Why can't living beings see and understand all this? But it's not easy, I tell you. Even that saying, the Mandarin saying, Xianhua always used that. Yeah. Mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is qi. In his sharing, he always start with this one. Everything is mind make, means what? Xing is mind. Wei xing zao, the mind actually make it. That's why, like, exactly like the Buddha saying, Everything arises on the mind. Mind is a forerunner of all things. When mind arises, all things arise. So everything is created by the mind. And this is the mundane mind, the dependent originating mind condition. Why can't living beings see, realize this and understand this? When you understand this, you will understand the law of karma. If mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is she, when mind arise, all things arise. That's why we are all born of karma. Then everything falls into place. That's why when I hear all those, to me, it's so clear. You know, what else you want? What other teaching you want? Because this teaching itself is so profound, so beautiful, so direct, so clear. But living being cannot understand. I can tell you, you go and speak to all those, especially Theravada tradition type of cultivator. I tell you, they catch no word. They are wokyu. Yeah. They really don't know what you are trying to say. Yeah. Even the Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, they can chant, they can recite, they can quote, but they don't know what that thing is. Because that two code is so powerful. Once you understand that, you penetrate the mundane mind. You penetrate the law of karma. You will know how the advice of the Buddha come about and everything fall into place. Then you know clearly who are you, what are you, how you function as a living being, and how you interact with the world, how you know the world, how all this become like possible. The phenomenal world of consciousness, the phenomenal world of form, everything like becomes so clear. Then the consciousness as a magician, all your senses, the moment you open your eye, you created all the things, color, shape, and form, appear already, arise already, real, exist already. But the moment you close your eye, gone. Everything is gone. So hearing also same. That's why our senses make life so wonderful. It's like, this is what life is all about. Without the senses, I tell you, you are like the table, vegetable. You don't know anything. Yeah. But the senses, without wisdom, really delude you and make you crazy. You go topsy-turvy and you get yourself entangled left, right, and every corner. But when you have wisdom, this sixth sense is so beautiful. That's a noble eightfold path. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is all very beautiful. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So thank you, PJ, for the good condition. Sadhu. So I think 10:34 already, we need to end. So we will share merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata chabhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana etta watta jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabasampati siddhiya idang me nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha vito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Let me end the whole Zoom session. Sadhu.